We'll be taking a look at your aches or your pains or maybe your sprains or your strains next year on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller with my two guests, Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. Great to have them here and great to have you listening in. Give us a call with your questions at 800-642-1234, and you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Lori, good to see you again.
Good to be here again. What a great day to be here. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Bill, you're
good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And
a great day for a ski if you're going out.
I'm thinking about going out a little cross-country skiing with the family this afternoon.
I took my kids out to Tyrol Basin on Saturday, and all of them went downhill skiing or snowboarding. And on Sunday morning, my seven-year-old got up and she said, "Oh, my back hurts and my hips kind of hurt." And I said, "Well, geez, you spent 4 hours skiing," and she flies down those hills and her feet are... I mean, I swear she's going to do the chicken splits.
So it's not the pizza slice.
She had a really big wedge of pizza. She had half the pizza there. So no matter how old you are, when you do something new, you're going to hurt the next day. So take it easy.
A little bit of a price.
You know, you are not sounding quite as loud as I had hoped you would. I wonder if we're having a little problem. Jim Packard, are we hearing Bill all right here? We'll test it and see. We may have to move you to a different microphone.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let's check Eric out from Waukesha. Eric, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Let's see a little background. I'm a 30-year-old uninsured male. I have my dual car accident. I have my neck fused in two places and a minor lower back surgery. That's doing pretty good, but the problem I'm dealing now, I do have a little nerve damage in my left leg going down into my foot. But I have, within the last, year, I'm experiencing burning pain in the back of my knee if I go to squat down, if I go take a hike. I try to stretch, but it seems more I stretch, more my body tries to protect itself and tighten up even more. Do you suggest a brace? Do you suggest icing, heating? What do you think?
So the big problem is your knee, the burning pain behind your knee?
Behind my knee, yes.
Did you have an injury to your knee?
Not that I know it. I do, my back of my leg does like to tense up, so I don't know if it's part to do with muscles tightening up on me. I don't know if that will cause the burning pain.
Does it feel like it's in your knee or it's just behind your knee, kind of like a sciatic?
Behind, it feels right in that crease as I go down. It feels kind of like behind to the middle.
Okay.
It's not necessarily under the kneecap itself.
Okay, and it's only when you squat?
For the most part. I'm walking, I feel it now. It's a constant reminder that there's something there. It seems that in the morning it likes to tighten up on me, or if I'm sleeping it likes to tighten up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start walking, and it starts easing up, starts stretching back out again a little bit. But it's always a reminder, hey, there's an issue.
Mm-hmm. And you said you had your neck fused in two places and low back.
Yes.
I didn't hear the cause of that.
A car accident,
a car
I'm afraid.
Accident.
Someone didn't see me coming, and that was that.
Okay. Well, it's possible that something happened to your knee at the same time. Usually pain behind the knee and pain with a deep squat, we think of a meniscus injury.
Okay.
To your knee, and that can, you know, be there at a low level and not bother you too much until you pivot, twist, or do a lot of deep squatting.
Okay.
So that's one possibility. Another possibility is it could be referred to your back, but it's unlikely to be that specific, that point specific, and only with squatting. Squatting wouldn't be the kind of movement that would necessarily elicit symptoms from your back.
Can I throw one more thing out?
Sure.
I had a shoe lift. Someone diagnosed me with a leg lift discrepancy, and due to another physical therapy down the road, we realized I did not. So about 10 years, I was wearing a quarter-inch leg lift. So I got reset. I feel so much better without that. So I don't know if change in height is going to do that. That was about 2.5 years ago.
No,
but so I don't know, changing that.
Probably not. How recent is the onset of these symptoms, the pain behind the knee?
Within the last year.
Within the last year?
Yeah.
Hard to say. You know, I guess I would say if it's bothersome, you need to have it checked out. you know, see an orthopedic, see a physical therapist, do an exam. But given the complexity of your history, your car accident, the leg lift, the back, the neck, all that, there's a lot to sort out. Is it going to be terrible to walk around with a torn meniscus in your knee? Probably not, unless you feel like your symptoms are worsening or you get catching locking, swelling, things like that, or that are signs that your knee isn't tolerating the meniscus tear in there.
Yeah.
Did I try a brace?
Brace isn't going to do much
okay.
for that. It's not going to be particularly helpful.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
I was going to agree. And Eric, if you go in, I would have him, like Lori said, examine both your knee and the low back. The squatting doesn't, that's the one thing that doesn't fit the sciatic nerve, but a lot of other things you described does. So besides doing a local knee exam, they should be examining you all the way up into the back region.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Eric. Let's turn to John in Brookfield next. John, hello.
Hello. Yeah, I'm calling about my Achilles. I woke up the other morning and I could barely walk. It was like a really sharp pain in the back of my ankle where the Achilles would be. And I was taking ibuprofen and taking it easy for a while, but now it just seems to really bother me whenever I step forward and roll my feet. You know, like when you're taking a step and you roll the ball of your foot.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And when I go to, I try stretching and everything, and it seems to bother. And if you push on it, it hurts at that time too. But it's not. It doesn't feel like it's a tear or anything like that. I can walk. I can walk with a limp.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I don't know if there's a way to stretch it out or.
Do you remember what you were doing the day before you woke up with this?
Not really. Because when I went to sleep, I didn't feel any pain or anything like that. But when I woke up in the morning, I was like I could barely step on it.
Right, right. Usually, it sounds like an Achilles tendinopathy, and typically it's brought on by something you did the day before, where a change of shoes. You can either have a shoe that's pressing and rubbing on it. If you wear a shoe that has a different height, like a hiking boot or something, that might put pressure on it. Or doing a lot of activity like hiking uphill, walking uphill, spending time on your toes, jumping, running, things like that can get it stirred up. So I'm not sure what set it off, but it sounds like an Achilles tendinopathy. You're right, stretching, especially aggressive stretching, can stir it up at this point in time. If it's been a few days, the ibuprofen is okay to take at this point in time if it helps relieve your symptoms. Icing is a good thing to do. Wearing a shoe with a little lift is helpful because, as you know, when you stretch on it, it hurts. And I'd get into to see somebody to start treating this because Achilles tendinopathy can get bad in a hurry and it can be very difficult to get over. So with just a few visits and some direction and help in dosing the exercise will be good. Stretching will be good eventually. Some strengthening exercises will be good eventually, but it sounds like it's too acute right now. So the first phase is going to be getting the inflammation down, getting rid of your pain, and then starting to work on rehabilitating the tendon.
Mm-hmm. There you have it. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Let's turn to Adam in Chicago next. Adam, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
About 8 months ago, I had experienced... Well, let's start off with, I have a bad habit of when I sneeze, I inhale, hold my breath, and then compress, when I sneeze, and then I exhale. And about 8 months ago, I noticed that I had a pain in my chest, and I sneezed, and then the next day, and then I heard it crack, my clavicle crack. And then a couple months after that, I noticed my right side of my chest, my ribs was getting recessed into my chest. And now the pain is... going to the back of my spine, and I'm not sure if this. I went to the doctor, and he said, "Oh, there's nothing wrong. That's normal. Nothing to worry about. There's nothing we can do to fix it." But I'm just wondering if this is an underlying problem for something else. The weak clavicle. Because it's separated, and now if I run my hand across my chest, you can feel that the left side is up, but then when I go across to the right side, my chest bone is my ribs are recessed into my chest.
Whoa.
Wow. Is it a problem right at where your clavicle joins your sternum?
Right in the middle of my
Right, where you have your breastbone there, and you've been talking about your clavicle. Is there is it abnormal where your clavicle joins your breastbone?
No.
Or just down in the ribs?
It seems to be down in the torso, under my chest in the rib area.
Okay, and where does it hurt?
In the back, in the middle of my spine.
In the middle of your spine. It sounds like a rib instability.
Yeah, it certainly could be that. Because that could account for the pain in all the areas that you're experiencing, Adam. So what did the physician tell you was the problem?
Well, I'm in the process of getting a second opinion because he's kind of quick. You know, he's kind of like, oh, that's not a big deal. You know, I had him feel it, you know. And I had him look at it. He's like, that's not a big deal. There's nothing we can do about it.
Okay. Besides the pain, any numbness or tingling wrapping around your chest?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, a physical therapist can certainly examine your back and your rib cage. There are different kinds of conditions that can cause a rib to sublux, and a sneeze like you described certainly could do that. It attaches to the spine, and so indirectly can cause some problems there as well. But a therapist could do a detailed examination of both your back and the rib cage and help sort out, you know, where is the pain coming from and how to treat it, and then how to keep this from coming back again. It was a good thing you went to see a physician. What you describe, I'm thinking, are you breaking bones? Did you fracture a rib? But I'm assuming that's not the case based on your visit with the physician.
Yeah, and I'd recommend seeing somebody that has experience in more of a hands-on examination, maybe an osteopathic physician who has more experience in, you know, manipulation and mobilization, might be better suited to examine you. And the other important issue is you were talking about your clavicle and your breastbone and being uneven. And one thing that's very important is if the joint where your clavicle joins your breastbone, if that it becomes unstable, it can become a life-threatening condition because it can put pressure on your important vascularity around your heart.
So it needs to be taken care of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good luck. Thank you for calling. Carol in Oshkosh, we'll turn to you right now. Hi, Carol.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have been nursing a shoulder injury on and off for about the past 25 years. It would flare up. I'd have a cortisone shot, a little physical therapy, and then it would be fine for another 4 or 5 years. Last year, it happened again. I had a cortisone shot, and then they finally decided to do an MRI, which shows a full thickness tear of the supraspinatus and a partial tear of the infraspinatus. I've been told surgery is the only option. They will not give me any more cortisone shots. And my question is there anything I can do prior to surgery, some special exercises or therapy to facilitate a successful surgery and rehabilitation afterwards? I'm in graduate school right now. I'm trying to put off the surgery as long as I can due to school, and I'm considering not having the surgery because I've heard a lot of horror stories from people who have had it and have not had good outcomes. So I'm just wondering what your opinion would be on this.
A couple things, Carol. First, can I ask your age?
I'm 50.
Okay. And what kind of surgery are they talking about? What are they talking about doing?
They're talking about doing with the little screws that go into the proximal part of your humerus. I don't think pulling down the ligament and then screwing it in.
Oh, they're going to try to repair it?
They're
going to try to repair the rotator cuff. Interesting. Did you have a recent injury?
I would do something that would cause a flare up, like washing windows or scrubbing something, and then I would just have this flare up. And they always suspected it was maybe a partial rotator cuff tear, but never ordered an MRI until last May.
Okay. Well,
I've always been able to get a handle on the pain up until this last flare up, and it's been bothering me for about a year. I can't really take a lot of anti medication. I have an ulcer history. I've been having some good results with acupuncture, which helps me kind of, you know, deal with the pain, but it never really goes away, and it it's just been an increasing problem.
Okay. Well, my gut thoughts are, if you've had, for as long as you've had this, and in the absence of an acute injury, I doubt that your full thickness rotator cuff tear is new. Your tear is probably old, which suggests to me, given that and your age, that when they get in there, there's not going to be much rotator cuff to work with. You'd also be at high risk for developing potentially a frozen shoulder afterwards if they try to pull that muscle down. If you had said to me they're going to do a decompression and you know, clean things out and make more room and take care of the bursa and things like that, like what's something they call a near Mumford procedure, I'd say, you know, if you've been successful with cortisone shots, that's probably a good option. A rotator cuff repair, I'm not sure how successful that will be. So
yeah, I'm a surgical nurse, so I've seen the procedure.
Oh, okay.
and he would like to do it arthroscopically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's okay. Probably not sure what he's
okay.
Going to do until he gets
okay.
In there.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, I'm thinking, am I going to have chronic pain worse than I have now? You know, if that's the case, I'm considering not doing the surgery and wondering if just maybe some physical therapy.
Yeah, you're not burning any bridges by waiting. Your rotator cuff is already torn. And given that it wasn't an acute tear, it's not that you have to go in and fix it right away because you have healthy tissue. I'm thinking you probably don't have healthy tissue. So I'd try some therapy. Obviously, the things you were doing in physical therapy before you should do now, things to strengthen the muscles that substitute for your rotator cuff, and see how you do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling.
All right.
Lori Tyne, Brody, and Bill Boisenault, our guests today as we talk dealing with aches and pains here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lori Tyne, Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School, with us up until noon today. We'll be breaking at noon for the tribute and ceremony honoring Dr. Martin Luther King today from the state capitol. But we're here until noon taking your calls, and Bob in Boston is up next. So let's go to Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, a quick history. I have a knee problem. About 18 years ago, I had a meniscectomy done on it for a bucket handle tear, and then about 9 years ago or 8 years ago, I had another surgery for the same thing on the same knee. And here a couple of months ago, I developed a huge lump behind my knee. I was just wondering, somebody suggested to me that it might be a Baker's cyst.
Yeah, that's what most commonly happens when you get a big bubble behind your knee. It's
okay.
A Baker's cyst.
Mm-hmm. Is it something that I have to worry about? I mean,
They don't do much about them. Are you having any other symptoms?
There's no pain or anything associated with it other than, well, my knee has always snapped and popped ever since the surgeries, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, the Baker's cyst is, you know, there's your joint capsule or your connective tissue there just has a weak spot in it, kind of like a bubble on a tire, and the fluid in your knee kind of pushes out there. And when you're up on your knees a little bit more and you're getting things stirred up a little bit with that knee that has a couple of meniscectomies and you put out a little more fluid, then it tends to bubble out. Sometimes a knee sleeve will help that, just a little pressure around the knee with an opening for your kneecap if you're going to be up on your feet a lot. Icing when you finish an activity where you're on your feet a lot. You know, you should mention it to your physician when you go in for your next exam, but it's not anything that you need to be terribly worried about unless it's clearly associated with a lot of pain and warmth and swelling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that was what I was worried about. You know how it is with paying to go to a doctor.
Yeah, well, you know, given that you've had two meniscectomies in that knee, I hope you're taking good care of yourself. You're keeping your legs strong, keeping your weight down, making sure you're wearing good shoes when you're on your feet, things like that. And that will help increase the longevity of that knee.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much, Bob. Adrian in Shawano, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
My question, I'm experiencing lower back problems. This started on the 23rd of December. I'm 52 years old. I'm pretty active. I snowshoe and I downhill ski and practice yoga. And I went to bed on the night of the 22nd. I was fine. And I got up the following morning, and it felt like somebody was sticking a hot knife at the bottom of my back. You know? It was right at the top of the sacrum. I gave it a few days, put heat on it, iced it, put heat on it. That didn't seem to do anything. I did see my chiropractor, and he did an adjustment, and that just made it more sore. I'm a dentist, and so I've had back problems on and off, and I was seeing an acupuncturist that did wonders for me a number of years ago, so I went back to him, and I got some relief there, but still didn't do the trick, and somebody recommended that I have a massage. At that point, I was ready to do just about anything, so I did go have a massage, and it was like somebody threw a switch. I mean, I got off the table, and the pain was absolutely gone. Now, being an active person, of course, I thought, okay, I'm back to 100%, and I went snowshoeing, and now it's sore again. And I was just wondering, from a physical therapist standpoint, what your take on that might be, what might have been the cause, and what I might what I should do in the future to prevent irritating.
Yeah, what you described is fairly common, where people have an acute episode, they recover from a variety of different types of treatment, and then they feel good, then the pain comes back again. If the massage seemed to do the trick, and that sounds like it was, then I would assume it was something muscular in nature. And what you described, somewhat similar to our second caller who went to bed feeling fine and woke up with the sharp, horrible pain in his Achilles. And so something could have been something that you had done or were doing probably with some repetition the day before or 2 days before.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden catches up with you. And you're right. Your profession, being a dentist, you're in a forward flex posture, a bent position for much of your day.
Arms up.
Arms up. And that can cause havoc on low back as well as the neck sometimes. And then that's where physical therapists can come into play. Some exercise to strengthen certain muscle groups, to stretch out other muscle groups, to talk about the ergonomic layout in your office. You might be able to offer a lot of good suggestions related to helping your body mechanics, to take some of the day-to-day stress off of you. And then letting them know the kinds of things you like to do, the snowshoeing and the skiing, there may be some specific exercises that allow those activities to be more therapeutic for you and your back. You know, I think you could get a lot of mileage out of just a few visits that do a good examination and look at what's weak, what's tight. Is there certain parts of your back that are stiff and just need to be loosened up? And they can teach you a lot of things to do on your own that would fit right into your lifestyle.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. And more callers online. Let's go to Marilyn in Milwaukee next. Hi, Marilyn.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
I was calling because I had a couple of problems. I have low back pain, but it only hurts when I have to move heavy things. Only hurts when I'm moving or lifting things that are heavy. Then the pain goes away a little bit later. I usually take Tylenol sometimes for it. When I wake up in the morning, I have numbness in my hands. And then it takes about half an hour to 40 minutes before the feeling comes back, and it feels like that needle, like the needle,
right.
Feel prickly feeling. So I was wondering what, I went to the doctor, and he said, well, you got carpal tunnel, and you should sleep with, those braces on, and for the back pain, he just said, well, do some exercises before you go to work. So I wasn't sure if he was correct or not.
Okay. Well, let's start with the low back first. How often do you lift and move things? Is that part of daily activities, or is it a rare occurrence?
Only when I'm at work. I work 3 days a week on the truck, and I move heavy stuff sometimes.
Ah, okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's where, again, I think a physical therapist can help you. Doing a good examination, And are there specific muscle groups that you need to be able to do your job that are weaker than they should be? And they can teach you things to do on your own. You don't need much fancy equipment usually, but some strengthening, looking at your shoulders, upper back, as well as lower back and hips would be important for you. Also talking about your job and what you're lifting, how heavy, the shape of the objects you're lifting, and how often would also be important information for the therapist to have. So they can work with you related to work responsibilities. And okay. I think that sounds like that would be a really useful thing for you. In terms of the morning, the numbness in the hands, you know, it's not necessarily unusual for people to wake up with some tingling or numbness. It usually goes away faster than 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's been taking longer and longer every time.
So it could be something like carpal tunnel. There's also a nerve behind the elbow that for some people who sleep on their back, just the pressure from the mattress over time can cause some tingling and some numbness. But the other thing to consider is your neck. You mentioned hands, so I'm assuming it's both arms, both hands?
Yes, both hands.
So that's when you have to start thinking about the neck as well. So again, when you see the therapist, they should be examining your neck as well as looking at your wrist and hands to see if it's a local problem or something up in your neck. And then it ties into sleeping positions and pillows that you're using, maybe something very simple that can be altered like that to get rid of that for you. But the fact it's lasting longer in the morning, the fact it's in both hands for this length of time, it'd be good to get both these areas checked out.
Okay. What was the therapist you told me to check out, to go to?
I would go to a therapist that specializes in spine.
Oh, okay.
Every therapist could examine your neck and low back, but considering it's both areas and considering your work, I would go to a therapist that specializes in spine as a starting point.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Arlene in New Berlin, we're on to you now. Hi, Arlene.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The reason I'm calling is I'm calling for my son. He's a truck driver, and he drove to a place that had a dock but no place to get down afterwards, and he jumped off the truck.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And so he must have hurt his knee because the doctor said he has a torn meniscus.
Okay.
And they're going to have to do 4 or 6 cuts and scope it.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, how is that going to affect him afterwards? Or what does he have to be careful of?
They did
an MRI on his knee.
Okay. Do you know how bad the meniscus tear was?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. And how old is your son?
46. Going to be 47.
Okay. Yes. I know what you mean. Things that he needs to be careful of. When you take out part of the meniscus, it changes how the loads are passed across your knee joint,
uh-huh.
and it makes that change overnight. And so the rest of your joint has to accommodate to that change in loading pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it very well because their parents, that would be you, mm-hmm. passed on to them very good joint surfaces. They got like the $100 Pirellis.
Oh.
Then other people got the $10 retreads.
Well, my husband I think there's joint problems in because
okay.
my other son had knee surgery too,
okay.
and the fact that my older son is a little bit overweight doesn't help either.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So there are some variables. He could do just fine, or he could have some trouble. So
mm-hmm.
the things to keep in mind are one, to avoid a lot of impact.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid a lot of squatting, deep squatting,
mm-hmm.
He should wear shoes that are good and supportive, and they have cushion. They have some of that air cushion or an air sole for shock
uh-huh.
absorption. He should do some strengthening to keep his legs strong, the muscles in his hips and legs. So he should see a physical therapist for
okay.
a couple visits after his surgery.
I think he probably will.
Yeah, to get some exercises mm-hmm. that he can do.
Uh-huh.
And he should keep his weight down.
Okay. He's been struggling with his weight for a very long time, and, you know, he's been losing a little at a time. I don't know why. He was never a big baby, and as a child, he wasn't, but it seemed like after he got to be preteen, things went the other direction.
Is it his right leg or his left leg?
He does driving truck for
I know,
a
that's
living,
why I asked
so.
If it was his right leg or his left leg.
I don't remember.
Okay. Oh.
He didn't tell me, and I just wanted to call him because he called me today that he's going to have surgery. So,
Yep. He'll do. You know, it depends upon you know, all those variables. I have a brother who is a little older than that who just had a meniscectomy. So, my sister and I have been supervising his therapy from afar, and my advice to him is to lose weight. So,
all right.
Continue to decrease the loads on the joint as much as you can. It's one thing that you have some control over.
Thanks, Arlene. Good luck, Manette. In Madison, we're on to you now. Hi.
Hi, it's Lynette with an L.
Oh, all right.
a week ago yesterday, I was running on my treadmill, and I thought I would try running like on the balls of my feet to think about possibly going into a barefoot type of running, which is something I've been reading up on. So I wasn't barefoot. I was in my running shoes, but I did some intervals basically on the balls of my feet. And since then, my left calf, medial part, has been just major pain. And I'm wondering, I'm guessing that's what happened. I just kind of stressed it. But I'm wondering how long I should be expecting this muscle pain.
Mm-hmm. Is it down in the sort of the bottom third of your calf?
Actually, it's, no. It's like maybe 3 inches below my knee, you know, like on the middle...
Right in the middle part. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And may I ask your age?
46.
Okay. All right. Well, the first things we think about with pain in that area and running on the ball of your foot, when you run on the ball of the foot, you lose the shock absorptive capabilities of your foot mechanism, your heel strike, your pronation, all that's designed to attenuate shock. So when you run on the ball of your foot, you lose all that. Additionally, your running shoes are not designed to be run on the ball of your foot. The shock absorption is back at the heel. If you look at the design of the shoe, that's where all the cushion is. So we ask your age because the first thing we think about is a stress fracture. That's a possibility.
Oh.
The second thing is probably a soleus tendinopathy where it attaches at the bone.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to take to get over? I would say, probably... In your age category, have you been a lifelong runner?
Yes.
Okay. If you're not feeling better in 7 to 10 days, I'd probably go in and have it looked at.
Okay.
So, stretching, calf stretching, stretching your toes up.
Yeah.
Especially
even
with your knee bent.
Even though it's painful, do it.
Thank you for that question. You should stretch to the point where you feel a gentle stretching sensation. You should stop before pain.
Okay.
Because pain is only going to prolong the problem.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of stretching yes or stretching no, but it's stretching at what intensity.
Okay.
Okay.
Been reading a lot more about this sort of a trend or it's coming in vogue of running barefoot.
Oh, that's just to keep us in business. I mean, if you were born in Africa and you grew up running barefoot and your family for generations has run barefoot, then genetically, morphologically, you are designed to do that. People in this country are not. People are raised on pavement. And, historically, anthropologically, is that the right word? Our ancestors for centuries have been modernized, and we're not designed for that. So some people will be able to do it because they have really good connective tissue, they have really good genetics, they have a lot of things in their favor, but most people won't be able to do it.
One more question.
Sure.
I've been icing. I iced a little bit right away, and then I've been doing heat and ice back and forth. Just once a day, like at night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good, or should I just keep icing?
I'd stick with the ice. I don't know that the heat is necessarily adding anything at this point.
Okay. It just feels good. That's it.
I was just going to say, if it feels good, that's fine. It's not causing any problems.
Okay.
So if that feels nice and it facilitates your stretching and such, then go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And I might try when I'm just sitting around, pulling my ankle up and down. What happens when you pull your ankle up, your toes up?
Yeah,
do you feel it pulled? Does it hurt?
No, not today.
Okay.
But
that's
I do
good.
Feel a little bit in the middle of the calf.
Okay. Yeah. That's perfect. So when you're sitting around today, just do some of that to kind of dynamically work that tissue to place a little bit of a load on it, but not too much.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your calling in. Bill in Cottage Grove. On to you now. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been struggling, well, not struggling, I've been dealing with carpal tunnel for probably about 25 years. I'm 58. I first got it on a weekend where I helped a buddy do a complete roof job, tear off, and then replace, and the continuous motion with the wrist, hammering, prying, really got me the classic symptoms. And I retired about 2.5 years ago, and I find that with more time on my hands, many of the things I like to do put a lot of strain on my wrists, whether it's gardening, you know, pruning, shoveling, even fishing, playing the guitar, these kinds of things. And then most recently, I've worked a few hours with a part-time job that's picked up this winter because it's involved a lot of brush cutting and hauling, and it's really, I've been working a week on, week off because the carpal tunnel's so bad. I do use the splints at night. I couldn't probably sleep without them when it's flared up. And I'm wondering if maybe it's time to look at surgery. I know there's some stretching. That doesn't seem to be real effective. I think maybe what I'm doing is stressing my wrist so much that it just doesn't give that nerve a whole lot of time to cool off. And then even things like driving or holding the book up start to bother me. So I want your thoughts on the surgery and, you know, if you have other things you might be able to suggest.
Well, you're kind of, sounds like you are at a crossroads considering, you know, how much impact it has on your lifestyle. Bill, is it one hand or both hands?
It's both hands, but it's much worse in my right, and I am right-handed.
Okay.
Now, as Larry might know, when I'm fishing, the hand I'm casting with generally gets worse if I'm doing it for hours than the one I'm cranking with.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I tend to hold the steering wheel with the right hand more, so I notice when I'm driving if it's in a you know, period where it's flared up.
Okay. All right.
So it's more, it's in both.
Yeah.
Have you seen a physical therapist in the past?
Well, for other ailments, not for this one. Mm-hmm. I do, my internist originally suggested the splints, and then I'm actually on my second pair because eventually wear them out. And sometimes I'll wear them outside, but it's a little hard to, you know, wear the splints when you're doing certain things.
Okay. All right. Well, it doesn't hurt to get a surgical consult and get an opinion from a surgeon and what kind of prognosis they would give you, you know, making it clear all the activities that in your lifestyle, the things you would like to be able to do. You know, as long as your hand isn't chronically numb at this point, it's an elective procedure. And seeing a physical therapist who could examine not just your hands and forearms, but all the way up until your neck and upper back, they might be able to help you enough where you can be functioning at a high enough level where you end up avoiding the surgery. But even if you go on to have the surgery, the better shape the physical therapist gets you in beforehand, I think the better chance for a good outcome. And it's not just stretching locally at the wrist or hands. There's a category of exercise called neuromobilization that can have a big impact in a positive way with the kinds of symptoms that you have. And that ties into the therapist examining you all the way up to your neck, down to your fingertips. Sometimes local stretching doesn't do it, but you incorporate stretching from your neck down to your fingertips can start making some good changes.
Okay.
All right.
So that's what I'd recommend.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center. One of our guests, the other Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have an ache, a pain, a sprain, or a strain, join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to Bev in Rhinelander next. Bev, hello.
Hello. I have all of the above.
Oh.
last September, I was diagnosed with tendonitis in the inside part of my ankle. And I wore a leg brace for, I think it was 2 weeks, and went back. and then the podiatrist recommended one of those big black boots to stabilize it. And I wore that for like about 6 weeks and then went back to the leg brace, and I'm still in, or in the ankle brace. I'm still in the ankle brace. Things are just pretty much at a standstill, except because I've been wearing the brace and the boot, my stride, my walking is kind of lopsided, so now I have pain in my back and in my hip.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, actually at this point I don't know which is worse.
Right. What do you know what the cause of the tendonitis?
I have no idea. I dealt with the pain for several months. I have rheumatoid arthritis, so that's what I thought it was.
Okay.
And so by the time I finally went and got a diagnosis, that was many months afterwards.
Okay. And are you in any kind of therapy now for any
no.
of this? Okay.
No.
Yeah, I'd suggest getting in for some physical therapy, and they can deal with all these issues. Probably the best place for you to be is in a pool, because you can exercise to help keep your ankle mobile and strong without having all the weight on that tendon and on your foot. It will also help with your hip and your low back. They can also take a look at your gait, especially with the brace on, and see if there's any modifications they can do to your other shoe to help even out your gait and your stride, because that has probably produced these secondary problems. And for someone with rheumatoid arthritis, the last thing you want is stirring up a bunch of other joints while you're trying to fix one.
Right.
So I'd suggest getting in, seeing a physical therapist and having an evaluation of all those components. And then in terms of your rehab, you know, a pool would be on the top of my list, because it's going to deal with many of those things, and it's going to help with the foot without putting all that weight on it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. Therese in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Therese.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a hand problem, too, except it's not carpal tunnel. It's in the top part of my hand, I believe, the tendons. I did speak to my general practitioner about it. I play tennis with that hand. And he suggested maybe lifting some small weights, which I did a little bit, but it just keeps on bothering me. You know, I use some topical cream to reduce, you know, like the Bengay type thing to reduce the pain. I'm still playing. I don't play as well because it hurts. I've been playing for 15 years. I guess I'd wonder what the next steps would be, and would just strengthening maybe be enough, do you think? And if so, what kind of, how heavy of a weight should I use, and what should I really do?
Well, let's back up. Tendons where? Which tendons are you talking about?
The top of my hand.
The top, how do you define the top of your hand? The back of your hand? Do you mean your fingers, your palm? Where's the top?
Not my fingers, okay. but the tendons going from the fingers to the wrist.
The fingers to the wrist. On the back of your hand or on the palm side?
Back.
On the back of your hand.
Not the palm.
Okay. So the tendons on the back of your hand between
yes.
your fingers and your wrist.
Exactly.
That's an unusual place to develop a tendon problem. So that's kind of where I'd start.
Okay. Well, there is pain there. So maybe it's not a tendon problem, but there's pain there.
Is it localized, or is it across the whole back of your hand? I mean, can you put your finger on one of those tendons and it hurts?
Well, it doesn't hurt right now, but
okay.
when I play and after I play, it's across the entire
back of your hand.
Yes.
Okay. So you can't put your finger on a single spot.
I've never really tried that, I guess.
Okay.
After I play tonight, I'll try that.
Okay. All right. And you don't have symptoms at any other time, only after you play tennis?
Correct.
Okay. So there must be something about the grip size and the impact with the ball that's getting that stirred up. You know, strengthening exercises for those kinds of muscles, it would not involve gripping. It would involve, well, the gripping, it probably acting in a force couple in the grip. Right. So gripping exercises, it'd be interesting to try to isolate this out to see if it's the gripping component or if it's the hitting and swinging component. I think a visit to a physical therapist, particularly somebody who specializes in sports, could help you sort this out. Because when it comes to the hand, the hand function is fairly intricate. Could be related to having to grip, although it doesn't bother you when you grip anything else, but it might not be repetitive enough. Could be the impact with the ball. So your rehab would really be based upon which of those components was the problem. If I were instructing you in a strengthening program, I don't think I would use light weights. I think I'd want to use resistive bands and isolate the grip from the tendon activity portion. So I guess my suggestion would be to ask your physician for a referral to a physical therapist and get some help with this, because it does seem to be impacting your lifestyle. And the last thing would be, when you're having problems with your hand, what tends to happen is you develop secondary problems because you change how you play. And you already said you're not playing as well. People develop hip problems, back problems, shoulder problems, elbow problems, because another component of their game is having a problem.
And Therese, when you go in, I would bring your tennis racket or rackets with you.
Okay.
So the therapist can look at the racket itself and talk to you. Have you just recently changed rackets or types of rackets, size of handles? There's all kinds of things related to the racket itself that may have set you up for this too.
Okay. One other place I notice that if I can't get rid of it, you know, with the, you know, anti-inflammatories, et cetera, I mean, it does bother me sometimes at work using the mouse, you know, mm-hmm. but it's not, I mean, like, it doesn't bother me today at work because I've been able to subdue the pain through the other, it's tennis related, but grabbing a mouse,
mm-hmm.
And maneuvering a mouse, like last week during the week when I couldn't get it to subside, you know, even the mouse was painful for a couple days. I think I'm playing with some pretty heavy hitters. I'm not the heaviest hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's impact more mm-hmm. than grip, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
they've
yeah.
all gotten stronger,
yeah.
and
I
need to get there with them or
right, right.
do something else. I don't
right.
know.
The vibration that comes through the racket definitely has an impact, and part of me wonders whether it really is the tendon. It's not a very common presentation. The vibration could be creating problems at the joints.
Oh.
At your wrist joint, where those bones attach at your meet your wrist, and it could be getting stirred up there. So
well, I will take your advice, get a referral
okay.
to a physical therapist. I want to keep playing. It's very important part of my activity a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like at this point I've let it go on limping along long
yeah.
enough. I need
yeah.
to take action.
Yeah.
You are right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck,
Therese. Jim and Racine, on to you. Hi, Jim.
Thank you. I overdid it lifting boxes about 3 weeks ago and have developed what appeared to be tennis elbow. I think it's that because my wife had it recently. She went through some therapy and ended up having a shot. I'm basically following the limited exercise cold packs and cream that she used that didn't work for her. Mine isn't, and I'm not using it. Try not to use it other than that, but I don't want to, if I got to get a shot, I want to do it before tennis, before golf season. I don't want to get this thing over with before
sure.
I even
right.
use it.
Sure.
I can understand that.
Is it on the inside of your elbow or the outside of your elbow? Is he there? Jim?
Jim, are you there? We lose Jim? My goodness.
Oh, all
we
right.
lost him.
Well, I'm just going to plunge forward on the presumption that it is actually tennis elbow. Their wrist splints are very helpful for that because it takes some of the strain off the origin of those muscles that are the problem. The icing is good, as he suggested, and he sounds like he has some exercises to do. Those can be helpful. And I'll reiterate what I've mentioned in previous shows. We have an ongoing study for people with tennis elbow here at UW. So if you're interested in participating, you can get to me by email, and we can hook you up with that. But generally, diligence in the stretching and strengthening program, decreasing loads by using the splint, using the ice, the if you're not getting better over the course of a couple weeks, I would suggest seeing a physical therapist, because there's a very specific progressive eccentric exercise program that works well with this kind of tendinopathy, but it needs supervision because it's relatively heavy lifting. So it needs to be monitored fairly closely. So, and that tends to work quite well with people. It's very good, successful outcomes.
There you have it. Let's take an email here. Gretchen emailed, a week ago, fell on the ice flat on my back above the tailbone area. My back sore for several days. The most pain and limitation of movements is in my gluteus maximus muscles. Iced it for 24 hours occasionally since then. I've taken ibuprofen for the past 4 days. Otherwise, I'm stiff and achy, but feel the achiness helps me not to overdo activity. Walking, stretching as much as possible. Careful with bending and lifting. I'm really active, not now, and healthy, and I'm a healthy 54-year-old female. Any suggestions for continued care and for this type of fall in general?
Well, I think the continued care is continue with what she's doing in moderation. Similar to a couple of calls we had earlier, is you can overdo this recovery process, take on too much too fast. Activity that provides some stretch, some very general discomfort is reasonable for her to experience at this stage, but nothing that is sharp, stabbing, shooting, and she should just slowly increase activity over the next couple of weeks.
All right. We are out of time. Thank you both so much for being with us. You'll be back in a month or so. We'll do it again.
Yep, back in February.
Yeah.
Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. They'll be back with us in a month or so, and we'll do this all over again. Thank you for listening, and stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.